All right, I'm just looking around. Glad to have Gary Hershberger here this morning. Gary's been here before and visiting, and he brought Emmanuel Miller, did I get that right? And his wife are with us this morning. Glad to have them visiting here today. Looking around. I'm glad you're here too. All right, glad to have you here this morning. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Probably the most famous parable in all the Gospels is the parable of the prodigal son, recorded later on in the Gospel of Luke. But maybe the second most well-known or common is this parable called the parable of the rich fool. Now that parable kind of designates him right off the beginning, and so it gives us a negative context, but I want us to look at this story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse number 16, we'll read down through verse 21. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says, "And Jesus, and he, spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us by the things we're about to hear. I pray, God, for your guidance and leadership in the message. Father, the things you've impressed upon my heart, I might be able to clearly communicate to your people here this morning. Father, whatever our need might be, Father, whether it be in pertaining to the message that we're about to hear, or God, maybe something unrelated to it, but we know how your spirit is able to work during the time of your preaching. So Father, I pray you'd speak to each and every heart. We pray most of all, should there be one today that has never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, the Father, they realize the emptiness and shallowness that surrounds them. And as they see this young man, and Father, his plans and purposes and yet his destiny, God, may you use that to speak to their hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. This is a parable. The Bible calls it that in verse number 16. And the parable is simply an illustration. It means it is not an actual story. It's not a true story. No one is named in the parable. But the Lord is trying to give an illustration or make a point. And the emphasis of the point, of course, is verse number 21, to be rich toward God. But he gives a story that illustrates how not to be rich toward God, and in essence, how to be rich toward God. I want you to notice some things by way of introduction about this man. Four things. First of all, notice his prosperity in verse number 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Notice before the ground brings forth plentifully, he's already identified as a certain rich man. This is not a poor man that suddenly makes it rich. This is a rich man that makes it richer. And so that is a perplexing thing to him, or it shows his prosperity, excuse me. And then the perplexity is in verse number 17. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." He had a bumper crop that season. As the harvest came in, it was much larger than was ever expected. Now his outgo was the same it's always been. His investment in the crop was no different. But what he reaped from it this year was much larger than it had ever been before. And he wasn't prepared for that. What shall I do? What am I going to do? The perplexity of his situation. Now, I don't know about you, but the answer to me would seem simple. Sell it. You've got a lot. Sell it. But that wasn't this rich man's mentality. No, he's thinking this. Right now, when there's an abundance, whenever there's an abundance, the prices bottom out. You and I experience that every day. We drive by the gas station. One of the most frustrating things in this life is seeing gas prices jump from one day. How do we go from an abundance to a shortage in such a short time from day to day? The prices bounce up and down. Well, somebody's doing what this rich young man did. And he's thinking, all right, if I put all my grain on the market at one time, I flood the market and the prices are going to bottom out and I won't make what I potentially could make on this sale. So what I need is I need more place to store it. I need to keep it until there's a drought, keep it until there's a shortage, and then I can really make my money on this. But how am I going to do that? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Then we see his planning in verse number 18 and 19. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He comes up with a building plan. I need more room to store all this grain so I can make a killing when the market is appropriate. And so what I'm going to do is build bigger barns. And then have a banquet. I'll eat and drink and be merry. He's got it all figured out. He's got the plan. And of course the plan was not necessarily a bad plan. It's a good business plan. Why not save all that stuff until the market drops? Why not hold on to it until the prices go up? Why not make a killing on it when you can? After all, it's not wrong to take care of number one. So he comes up with his plan. A valid business plan. Ready for the banquet and the wealth and the riches that are to follow his success. Then we see the prospect in verse number 20. Notice this in verse 19, it says, and I will say, and verse 20 says, but God said. You know what you could write between those two verses? Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Here's what I'll do. I've got this great crop coming in. I'm going to become even richer than I am right now. I've got a good business plan all laid out. I'm going to go into early retirement, eat, drink, and be merry. It's all worked out. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He had it all planned out. He had it all worked out, but there was a problem. The Lord wasn't considered. The Lord wasn't in it. The Lord saw a problem. Can I recommend to you that in your business dealings, in your personal life, in whatever it is you do, you consider God first? That God doesn't take the back seat and after you've worked it all out, then you turn to Him? But he is primary, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and not yourself first. Can you look at that verse? Can you just kind of glance at it and let me read it this way in verse 17? And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Do you see an emphasis anywhere? I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul. See, the Lord looked down upon his planning and his prospects and his building and his banqueting and said, you've got one problem with all this. You've not considered God. He says, after this man refers to himself at least 11 times in these first four verses, and the Lord recognizes his selfishness and his callousness, no regard for others, taking care of himself first, making himself a self-made man. The Lord says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He is not rich toward God. Why did the Lord say that about this man? This man who's a certain rich man before it starts and was only about to be made richer by the abundance of the crop that he was about to harvest. Why does God say about him, he is not rich toward God? I want to give you three things this morning, three common mistakes that this man made that people still make today. And again, this is why I appreciate the Word of God. The Word of God's not old and outfashioned and outdated and archaic. Man's nature is still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago when this story was told, or 6,000 years ago when the story of Adam was told. And the problems this man had are the problems that you still experience when you see unsaved people and try to witness to them, or maybe some of the struggles that you and I have sometimes. Three common mistakes. Look at the first one. The Bible says in verse number 18, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods." This man mistook his bank book for his Bible. He mistook his bank book for his Bible. He thought, as long as I'm in the black in the bank book, I'm right with God. As long as my balance sheet is in my favor, everything's okay. Is not that the world we live in today? Is that not why many people think they don't need God, they don't need the Lord? Because everything's fine. Everything's comfortable. They've got their houses and their lands. They've got their automobiles. They've got their travel. They've got all the things that they need in this life. The table is set and it's full. The children are healthy. When everything is well, we have no need for God. And that was this man's problem. The Bible was not his guide in life. His bank book was. And as long as everything fit into this formula and this plan, he had no need for God. Turn, if you would, back in the Old Testament. Let me illustrate this for you if we can. Deuteronomy chapter 8, all the way back to Deuteronomy. If this man ever read a Bible, and I kind of have a sneaking suspicion he did. Here's the Lord, now to follow me for just a minute. Here's the Lord telling a parable to a bunch of Jewish disciples and followers. The man that he's referring to, even though it's an illustration, is probably going to be Jewish by heritage. He's going to be a man that's familiar with the Old Testament and the law of Moses. So he's going to know these things, whether they're fresh in his mind or not. He's going to be aware of what Moses taught in the law. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, look if you would down at verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein." That sounds like the man in the parable. "And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart shall be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God." I will say to my soul, thou hast. Lest thou forget the Lord thy God, verse 15, who led thee. Verse 16, who fed thee. Verse 17, and say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God. No more perfect illustration could be given of this young man in Luke chapter 12 than what's written in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 19, is that there's a man that prospered in all things materially and monetarily, but forgot the God that gave him the ability to do it. Folks will get up tomorrow morning on a Monday. They'll get out of bed, they'll roll out of bed, eat their breakfast, maybe take their shower, get dressed, get in their car and go off to work. They will labor for 8, 10, 12 hours tomorrow and make money. And all that's good. But when we forget God, it's not good. There's nothing wrong with this man and his planning and his future and looking at things. He could have even said, well, doesn't the Bible say to count the costs? Doesn't the Bible say in Ecclesiastes that we can enjoy the labor of our hands? Yes, he could use those verses, but he's forgetting these. He's forgetting these that he's forgotten the Lord is God. And folks will get up tomorrow and work all day without one thought toward God. Without one inkling that there's a God that gives them the health. You know, folks, it's not the doctor that keeps your heart beating. It's God. It's not the doctor that keeps your lungs operating. It's God. And the minute he says, turn off, they're off. And there's nothing any doctor, and I'm not against the doctors, don't misunderstand it, but there's nothing anybody can do when God says it's off. When this man, when he says tomorrow, this night, there's nothing anybody else could have done. You need to remember God. And his problem was he forgot God because he thought as long as the balance sheet looks good, I'm okay. He forgot God. But that's not the end of it. Look over, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 15, since you're already close by. In all of his success, in all of his prosperity, in all of his blessings, he forgot the one that he should have been thankful to. And that was God. Whether you have little or whether you have much, be thankful to God. If you've got your health, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, thank God for it. He didn't give any thought for God. Deuteronomy chapter 15, look down if you would at verse number 7. Here's another command in the law. Moses, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Was there any thought toward the poor with this man in Luke chapter 12? Or was every thought to himself? I'll build bigger barns. I'll have a better banquet. I'll make more profit. I'll have more money. He didn't think of God. He didn't think of the poor. Verse number 8 says, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Verse number 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. In all of this man's planning, in all of his preparations, it never dawned on him to be charitable. He never considered the fact, hey, since I'm going to be so blessed with so much, I ought to do something for somebody else. That was not in his wheelhouse. That was not in his thought patterns. He was a self-made man. James writes about this. You need not turn there for time's sake, but in James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, James addresses this very problem to the church. James says to the church in James chapter 2, verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Here's a man in Luke chapter 12 that in all his prosperity, he never paused to give thanks to God. In all of his blessings, he never considered the needy around him. It was all about him. Because the bottom line was all that mattered. His bank book was his Bible. But not only did he mistake his bank book for his Bible, but number 2, He mistook his body for his soul. Look at verse number 19, if you would. And I can't help reading verse number 19 without finding it a little bit humorous. Now, it wasn't intended that way, but that's just the way it looks to me. Verse number 19, this rich man says, "And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Listen as he talks to his soul as if he's talking to his body. He mistakes his body for his soul. A soul has no need for bumper crops and barns. A soul has no need for beefsteak and beverages. He says to his soul, "Eat and drink." The soul doesn't get fed by physical food. The soul gets fed by the Word of God. "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food," Job said. But this man, in his condition, couldn't separate the physical from the spiritual. Again, can I say that that's a perfect picture of the society and the day in which we live today? That folks think that the physical and the spiritual are one and the same. And as long as you're well off physically, everything's fine. All the advertisements that you see, all the drugs that are pushed, is to help the body and fix the body and make the body better. But no one's concerned about the soul. This man mistook his body for his soul. He failed to discern between his physical being and his spiritual being. Have you ever had this happen before? You probably have if you've witnessed to anybody any amount of time. You say to somebody in a conversation, "Have you been saved?" And they say, "Oh yes, there was a time I was drowning and I cried out to God and a boat came along just at the right time." That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. "I was in an automobile accident. It went off the road and it rolled a couple of times and God spared me. God saved me through that." That's wonderful. But you see what the problem is? When I say, "Are you saved?" I'm not talking about a physical body. I'm asking about your soul. Is your soul safe and secure in the hands of God? If that boat had not come along when you were drowning, if in that rollover you had perished and gone into eternity, is your soul ready? Not your body. Here's the problem with this man. He mistook his body for his soul. He's having a conversation with his soul that's doing absolutely no good. The lesson in this is simply this. The body can be well off and the soul still be in trouble. The body can be well off. Now, I'm all for a well-off body. The body can be well off and the soul still be in trouble. This man didn't realize that. He thought as long as everything was fine physically and materially, everything was fine spiritually and eternally. What a drastic mistake to make. What a costly error in thinking. The body can be well off and the soul can still be in trouble. Then can I flip that over and say this? The body can be in trouble and yet the soul still be well off. Many of us have experienced that. The body can struggle and have troubles, but the soul can still have peace with God. You think of Horatio Stafford, who lost his two daughters in that ship sailing across the Atlantic. And in his agony and in his torture of soul, as he crossed, following the path that ship went down in, as he passed the point where the captain said, "This is where your ship was sunk, and this is where your daughters went down and where they drowned." In the agony of his physical body, he could say, it is well with my soul. All to have your wellness based on your soul and not your body. We don't have time to look at that other story Jesus told, a true story about a rich man and Lazarus. And you know how that story ends up. The rich man ends up in hell. Lazarus, the beggar, ends up in heaven. It's proof of this point, that the body can do well when the soul isn't, and the soul can do well when the body isn't. This man couldn't separate the two. He couldn't tell the difference. He mistook his body for his soul. Then thirdly, Not only did he mistake his bank book for his Bible, not only did he mistake his body for his soul, but thirdly, he mistook time for eternity. He mistook time for eternity. Again, a problem that's common in our day today. We think this is it. This is all there's ever going to be. And that is a problem of youth, is it not? When we're young, when we're in our teens, we think the world's going to be here forever. We think we're always going to be in good health and everything's fine. We're not concerned with growing old. We're not concerned. Notice in verse number 19, Saul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. This was a very young man when he said this. Successful, wealthy, young. But he had no thought for eternity. His time was based on a 24-hour clock, a 30-day calendar, 365-day year, and anything beyond the immediate future was foreign to him. And he wasn't considering eternity. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He thought he had a long time to live. He thought he had a life all set up for pleasure. A life already of self-indulgence. It was all planned. The bumper crop was coming in. Hadn't come in yet, but it was coming in. He's going to build the bigger barns. He's going to have a better place. He's going to rake in the dough. He's going to make in the money. It's all set. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night. He thought he had a long time to live. But he was going to be dead by morning. Thought he had it all planned out, but he had less than 24 hours to live. He mistook time for eternity. The song says it this way. I got up on Sunday morning, went to the church at 10. I listened to the words that I'd heard time and time again. The preacher spoke of sinful lives, it seemed he spoke of mine. But I was young, I had plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to a heavenly crown. I'm just a young man, not yet in my prime, so I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. I went on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live. Out to beat the other fellow, out to get what life could give. Making money is not sinful, having fun is not a crime, so I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Plenty of time to decide where I'm bound, to eternal darkness or to a heavenly crown. I'm yet a young man, I'm yet in my prime, so I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. Before I knew what happened, life's scenes had passed away. And millions stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. Now eternal darkness beckons, and the name it calls is mine. But I had thought I had plenty of time. Eternity waits, I've got plenty of time to think of all the days Christ could have been mine. My chance is over, earth's days are left behind, and here am I, I've got plenty of time, and I've got nothing but plenty of time. That could have been the words that young man sang 24 hours after the story is told in Luke chapter 12. Why? He mistook his bank book for his Bible. He mistook his body for his soul. He mistook time for eternity. And Jesus said he was not rich toward God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said this, right before this, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Folks, this morning, the message is not against wealth. It's not against possessions. It's against forgetting God. Or it's about forgetting God. It's about being considerate of others. It's about thinking you can do it all on yourself and that that's going to please God and get you entrance into heaven. Oh, can you imagine as they stood around this young man's casket at the funeral home? Those that knew him, those family or few friends that were around, came by and looked at him and said, "What a waste. How tragic. He had so much to live for. He was so young and he had so much and his plans were so great. How tragic. What has happened?" But the tragedy wasn't the past. The tragedy was the present and the future. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and you're not rich toward God." Man measures his success by what he sees on a balance sheet. But God's looking at a completely different balance sheet. He's not looking for the dollar sign in front of it. He's looking for faith. Faith in God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Preparation for eternity. Comforts in this life are not a guarantee of comforts in the next life. The only thing that gets us from here to there is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. If this young man, even in his prosperity, had put his faith and trust in Christ, it doesn't mean he'd have gone bankrupt. Doesn't mean things would have bottomed out. I'm sure he would handle things differently, been a little more considerate. But it doesn't mean he would have lost everything he had, but he would have gained so much. This morning, 2019, this rich man, the Bible says of another rich man, not because of his riches, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, because he thought he had plenty of time. This young man made three common mistakes that people today all around us are making every single day. May you and I be a witness and a testimony to them that their bank book is not their Bible. Their body and the condition of their physical is not the condition of their spiritual. And there's more to time than 2019, 2020, and 2021. 70, 80, 90 years down here on earth is minuscule compared to eternity. Are you prepared? Are you ready? He wasn't. May you and I be. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.